That's right, we have made it to our second episode. Welcome to the Enduro World Series podcast. My name is Rick McLaughlin. Thank you to everyone who's listened to episode one and enjoyed it, made suggestions for future episodes. We're also in the process of distributing the podcast to a few other platforms as well. So hopefully it's going to become a bit more widely available as we go on. Hello, as ever, to yourself, Rory. The hair is still looking on point. What have you been up to since we last spoke? Built any snowmen?
Not really, Rick. It's been a bit kind of slushy down here. I don't think slushmen really hold together very well. But no, I've been in the gym. The golf course has been closed. So I've been in the gym, trying to get big.
down the iron temple.
And trying to come to terms with the devastating blow that people voted that you pronounce power, par, not poor. So a tragic day for Scotland, but look, we'll get over it.
Listen, yeah, that's how you pronounce the word, par. Right, anyway, we've got a lot to get through here for episode two, the 2021 Enduro World Series teams and team changes, aka silly season. Now, it's worth pointing out before we get any further in that there is a couple of days worth of lead time between us recording these and them getting out to you guys online. So all the changes that we're about to list are accurate at the time that we're recording it. The person who wrote the script has asked us to point that out. I write the script for these. We're likely going to have to record another episode of this in a few weeks' time, once everyone is confirmed and the music has stopped. And hopefully everyone's found a chair to sit on. So before we get into the meat of who will be riding where next season, Rory, as a seasoned ex-pro, tell me what this time of year is like if you're looking for a new team.
Yeah, it can be very mixed emotions, to be honest. There'll be a lot of riders out there who have had two-year deals, and for them, it's a breeze. You can just get your head down, concentrate on training and your preparation for the season, but if you're out of contract, it can be really tricky. And I think with last season being so short with only three races, if you're out of contract, you've not got a huge amount to prove your worth on as far as racing goes last year. So it can be tricky. But look, it's one of these things. It's part of the game. Riders, I think from quite an early stage in their career, have to be able to go out and negotiate their own deals and talk to sponsors, and it's part and parcel with it. But it can be the difference between being 100% focused on the upcoming season and still running around trying to get parts, trying to get brands on board and figuring out where your budget's going to come from. So quite the contrast between being signed and unsigned at this point.
Yeah, I don't want to mention any names, but a certain former national downhill champion that I used to work with used to adhere to the theory that you only needed to race well in the year that your contract was up, because your last season would pay so much more compared to like what you'd done in the first couple of years. Also, this time of year, I don't know, it kind of feels like a lot of people's deals were done at the back end of 2020, and this is really just in the announcement stage. Is that true, or is there still some business being done at the minute?
I think there'll still be some business being done. Teams obviously at this point have usually allocated the budget, they've chosen riders, aligned themselves with sponsors and brands. So for the most part, the bigger deals are done, but there's still a good handful of really strong racers who at this point may still be putting things together. They're maybe slightly down the food chain when it comes to budgets for brands and stuff. So yeah, there'll still be a few people tying things up, and we're not racing until end of June, July time. So still a good 6 months. The team lists are looking as stacked as ever for 2021.
Tell us about then, when it comes down to this sort of contract negotiation, is it mostly about the money, like, or is it about balancing that against what equipment you'll actually be racing on and sort of weigh the two up against each other?
It's definitely a balance. And I guess it depends on the rider and what they want out of it. There may be more lucrative financial opportunities with lesser known brands or lesser proven brands. But as a racer, you have to make the decision as do you feel that that equipment's going to be good enough to get, you know, achieve the goals you set for yourself. And that can be a really tough decision because you can't go racing on, you know, self-esteem. You've got to fund it somehow. And sometimes you have to maybe ride for a brand that you wouldn't ride for a brand or a product that you wouldn't normally select in order to kind of get to the races. So in an ideal world, you know, we'd all ride what we want and what we would choose if we were buying it ourselves. But seldom does that happen. And sometimes you have to bite the bullet. And I think as well, it's the confidence in taking a product that is maybe unproven and as a rider, knowing that you can make it work, having not seen somebody else make it work. And that takes some confidence.
I always thought it was a fascinating one because it's easy to look at in the prism of, you know, if I was a professional racer, I'd have exactly what I want, I'd have the best stuff, I'd have X, Y, and Z. Whereas that's not often what a lot of teams are racing on, you know, and it's certainly an interesting one that we're going to dive in here. Right, first out of the gate, we're not going to spend too long talking about it because we talked about it in episode one. Sam Hill, 3 more years on Chain Reaction Cycles. He turned troll a bit with his thanks for the last 8 seasons the day before he announced. But listen, this is, we said last week, this isn't a big shock, is it, that he's back on there for 3 more years?
No, it's a great move from Nukeproof and Sam, I think. He definitely went fishing when he put out a post thanking them for the last 7 or 8 years. But look, Sam's the kind of headline rider of the EWS, and there's been a lot of big brands have thrown a lot of big numbers at him over the years, and he's stuck to what he knows and what he knows works. He's got a really, really tight knit group with Chain Reaction Cycles, with Nigel, with his mechanic JC, and he knows that that's more important than an extra 1 or 2 on his, or a 0 on his contract. And if you actually look at Sam's career, he has been very loyal. He has stuck by teams. Now, although people will see Iron Horse to Specialized or even the Mad Cats team before that, it was all under the same umbrella of Sean Heimerdahl. So if you think about Sam's career being, you know, coming into his 20th year almost, and he's only ridden for 2 teams, I think that speaks volumes for him as a rider and the people he surrounds himself with.
Tight team as well, just as all those teams have really been, close knit. Elliot Heap, I think he really benefited. I don't want to say he benefited from a lack of Sam in 2020, but I think it'll be a useful year for him as basically, you know, the number one rider in that pit. Top 10 rider now, really, isn't he, as well? We're still waiting for CRC to officially announce, but I don't think we're gonna see any other big changes on there, are we?
No, I don't think so. I think Nigel's quite passionate about giving other riders opportunities to race professionally. And we may see a couple of kind of younger UK riders at select rounds. But the team seems to function really well. It's a close-knit unit. And I've been really strong with like you say, Elliot's now pushing for the top rider in the UK, I would say. And Sam, also a 3-time champion, so they've got a strong unit.
Okay, do you think we're going to see Sam on an e-bike? Now, that makes the assumption that Nukeproof are going to make an e-bike, but you'd have to think that's something that probably, definitely, maybe will happen. Can you see him mixing things up and having a go on one of those this year?
It'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it?
I personally just, I don't know, bit of a Sam Hill fan, and the way he rides a bike, seeing him ride an e-bike, I think would be quite a cool thing.
If Nukeproof are bringing out an e-bike, I'm sure we'll see him on it at some point.
Well, they only brought the Giga out last week, didn't they? So I guess we've got to give them a couple of weeks to make an e-bike. Right, let's crack on. Jose Borges is off Miranda and on, we don't know, Borges' seriously scaled bike racer. This is a bit of a strange one, I thought, actually, as he and Pombo were running that Miranda squad last year, and they seemed to mesh really, really well, and the two of them seemed to be getting on very well with it, very relaxed pit. Riding KTM e-bikes, one of only two riders to podium at both the EWS and the EWSE in 2020, the other one, of course, Melanie Poujean. Do you think he's off somewhere to race solely on e-bikes, maybe?
He might well be. Like you say, very, very good rider. Was strong in EDBS and EWSE, which is a tricky one. It comes down to, I guess, what he enjoys, and that might sway his decision. The way the schedules work next year, there is the opportunity for him to race both if he wanted. It would be a big season, but whatever he does or whatever he chooses, I expect to see him, you know, at the front in either category. And yeah, as far as brands go and as far as teams go, I really do not know. But yeah, e-bike only might be a good shout.
He's someone who certainly is. You watch him on an e-bike, and although very, very capable of that KTM, it's no featherweight, like, it's no lightweight machine, and his style seems to really suit that sort of heavier bike, and sort of, you know, you watch him on an e-bike, and he's, you know, he obviously absolutely pinning it on it. It wouldn't surprise me at all. We need to do an episode of this where we actually run through the calendar next year and just talk about how those rounds stack up against EWSE as well. To be honest, EWSE, if you were still racing, is that something that would tempt you to have a crack at it? You crack on an e-bike, don't you?
Yeah, it definitely would. I think I was definitely sceptical of e-bikes until I rode one, and when I see a lot of people still have mixed opinions, I think that's a lot of them have never ridden one, or certainly haven't ridden one in the capacity that we're pushing it towards. It's a difficult one. I think if you're still fighting for EWS success, whether that's top 10s, top 5s, podiums, top 20s even, I can understand your focus being on that. But with some of the venues next year being standalone EWSE rounds and the season being compact, yeah, I would definitely want to see what it was about and try my hand at it. And, you know, this year we might see more riders doing that, and maybe even some top riders from out with EWS coming in and trying the EWSE races. So watch this space.
Okay, right. No more needs to be said there. Now, we're moving on to two teams. I think this is really commendable, actually. Two of the big beasts of the EWS world, Cominsal and the Cube Action team. Both of them really investing heavily in young talent this year. It's something that it's great to see big brands doing. Let's start with Cominsal. First of all, before we get on to those two young guns that they've just signed, Alex Rudeau and Antoine Vidal move up to pro this year. Of course, Alex was there last season. Vidal moving up. I think that's a year early for him. He's opted to do it. Let's not beat around the bush. Antoine Vidal could well be one of the dominant figures in Enduro World Series racing for years to come. Yeah, big, fast. He's already raced at a very high level, both Enduro World Series, World Cups, French Cup. Are we gonna see him on the podium by the end of the year? Do you think that's too big a shout?
It definitely wouldn't come as a surprise. Some of the footage he's been posting on his social media over the off season, he looks fast and he looks comfortable. So I think he'll definitely be at select races a contender for the podium. Being young, will he have the consistency of a full season like we see in the likes of Sam and Martin? It's difficult to say. Speed, skill, 100% there. I think the real question for Vidal is, can he do it for the season? And with the races being back to back to back, with kind of two main blocks, you can't afford to have a bad weekend. You have to be there every weekend. And I guess I don't want to predict what may happen, but in the past we've seen fast young riders come through and what they've had in speed they've lacked in consistency. And you know, if he wants to be up there at the end of the season, he'll need to find that consistency. But I'd have no doubt that the speed's there.
What I think's really interesting and like worthy of note about Vidal is that his stage times on numerous occasions over the last couple of years have been in and around the top five of the pro times. So you're not talking about somebody who's being dominant over that younger class of rider. They're right up there already. As you say, it's going to be a big ask to make it count over the course of the year, as it is for everyone else. But I think the person who may well benefit from it most is actually Alex Rudeau. I think those two are very, very close. They're good friends. And having Antoine to ride a lot more with in practice and like potentially during the races themselves, I think that's going to bring, we're going to see really him progress as well. But let's move on to the two young riders I mentioned earlier, Alize Lasus and Jack Piercy. Great to see the Ravenels, Cecile and Cedric, continuing their approach to fostering young talent, just as they brought on Alex and Antoine. Both of those riders ride actually for their local cycling club. I don't know how much we're going to see of Alize in 2021 because I think she's still 15, but Jack is 16, so we'll see him from the start of the year. I think he was born in Scotland and then he moved to France at the age of four, so the pair of yous can have some crack about
we'll,
that.
We'll claim him. We'll
yeah, claim
him.
Claim anyone.
We'll
he can get in on the par debate. Right, Cube then, also investing in young talent. Now this is a squad that has as much history in the Enduro World Series as any of them, and they've been there since the first year. But over the last couple of seasons, we've seen some big changes in the Action Team camp. Greg Callahan departed for Da Vinci last year, as we know. And now Zacharias Blom-Johansson, who we'll talk about a bit later on, and Sevilla Wiedenroth have both left the camp. But in their place has come new recruits, Veronica Brückle and Jonas Govil from Germany and Austria, respectively. They'll be joining Gusti Wilhaber, the Swiss Army knife, into a German-speaking super squad. Veronica, former national XC champ. Jonas has raced some World Cup downhills. You came into the Enduro World Series fold, Rory, obviously having spent your career in downhill. I know it's a completely different experience. It's a different kind of race week, weekend. But that kind of just, I guess, experience must help, mustn't it, having raced at a high level?
Yeah, I think the transition definitely a lot easier if you've raced professionally before, whether that's downhill or cross-country. You still have a lot to learn, and the way you approach it has to be quite different. But just that, the knowing what the pressures are of being in the gate and dealing with everything that goes on. If you've had that before, whether it's in another discipline or not, it definitely helps. It's actually a good thing to see from Cube, to be honest. And I think we quite often talk about in other sports teams doing rebuilds where they may not have the riders that they can win with straight away, but they've got, you know, a bunch of kind of younger, less experienced riders that they think, you know, 1, 2, 3 years down the line could be up there contending for race wins. So I think that's what we're seeing with Cube. They maybe didn't have the opportunity to sign one of the top current riders that they wanted, so they've invested their finances and their support in the future, and watch this space, I guess.
I think it's great to see, and I think it's great that if you look at they're two of the most professional squads in the Enduro World Series. And I think if you're talking about a place to go and not just learn how to win races, but learn how to be a pro, those are two fantastic spots. Do you know what I mean? Super organized, as I say, super professional. Bikes are always immaculate, good setups, and in the form of the Ravenels and Klaus Fashman from Cube, really good guiding hands behind them as well to just sort of bring them through the season. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Right, on to one of the big mysteries currently off the 2020-2021 transfer window. Katie Winton has announced that she's off Trek, and we're yet to hear who she's going to be riding for. Now, Katie actually had a pretty strong season in 2020, 5th, a 15th and a 4th. A former world number 3, we're yet to hear who she's going to be riding for. I mean, it's getting late in the window now. And I mean, if it's not late exactly, then the clock is definitely ticking a bit louder. Do you think she's going to end up on a team or on her own program? What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Katie, like you say, had a relatively solid season last year, and with only kind of 3 races to prove yourself, it was an interesting move that Trek made. And I think it was a bit of musical chairs with other teams in other sports that maybe forced that. But look, she's it might be one of the best things that's happened to her, if I'm perfectly honest. She's been there quite a while. And sometimes it takes that change, or maybe having the carpet pulled out from under you, that makes you kind of step back and realise what you actually want and the direction you want to go in. So she's getting quite late to maybe be joining a team. But from what I gather, she's looking to put hopefully her own programme together. And we'll see her at the races this year for sure. So definitely a change for her, a big change coming from a well-established team like Trek to potentially doing your own program and having something there. But like I say, it might be the newfound motivation that she needs. And based on her results last year, I would expect to see her right back up in the top 5,
yes,
regardless of what program she's a part of.
Katie, a class act, and one of the pro women that really, really, like, the worst conditions get, the more Katie enjoys it. That's what was one of my favourite things about her racing. We know that she's great on camera, she's good on her social media, she's been vlogging a bit recently. These individual deals that we do see riders set up for themselves, they can be almost better suited towards that, because you're kind of in charge of your own destiny a bit as well. So definitely looking forward to seeing what comes out. Knowing my luck, she'll probably currently be in the process of announcing this as we're recording it, but that's one we're going to catch up on later on. Another rider that we're going to have to catch up on next time is Kevin McHale being off Sun. Now, this is potentially huge. Big Kev dog. Kevin, he did disappointing 47th in Zermatt, but I mean, that was a rare off day. 6th in Pietra Ligure, 8th in Finale Ligure. He'd have been a member of the Team France Trophy of Nations squad at the end of last season, season before last, if it wasn't for that injury. He injured his wrist, didn't he? Where do you rank Kevin McHale then in the sort of broad scheme as a rider?
Truth be told, I think Kevin McHale, I genuinely think he is a potential race winner. Like, that's how strongly I rate him. I think there's probably half a dozen guys that could win a race that haven't won a race. You've obviously got your well-established ones like your Martins, your Sams, your Richies. Jesse Melibend now kind of steps into that role. But Big Kev Dog, I honestly think he is one of the next in line to get a race win. He's had podiums. I think he was 3rd overall in 2019. He was right up there. And if the rumours that I've heard are true, then a big move for him, and maybe the support and the brand behind him that might take him his first win. And you never know, he might be a contender for the overall.
Well, this is it. Just as a side note, whenever you use the words "to tell you the truth," I never know if what follows is going to be positive or negative. So I'm glad that went well for Big Kev.
I like Big Kev.
What do you think his strongest strengths as an EWS racer are? For me, My working day is spent at the bottom of stages, interviewing people, and then sort of frantically updating the app, trying to work out where everyone's come. And it's more notable than not whenever Kevin's not in around that top five. His consistency is just superb, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's something that he's really improved on and developed in the last kind of year or two. Yeah, I mean, he's a top 10 guy kind of every time almost. And yeah, when he's up in the top five or fighting for kind of top threes, it doesn't really come as a surprise anymore. But he's a really good rider, really talented. He's a big, strong lad. I think he's got a lot of power. The physical venues seem to suit him pretty, yeah. The physical tracks and stages tend to suit him really well, but it's really not, there's not much missing to that puzzle to kind of push him into a position to win. And, you know, 2021 might be the year for that.
Okay. The big question, I think, is will the new squad have tight enough trousers for Kevin? That man loves a tight set of pants. So, great. Fantastic dancer as well. Yeah, we'll catch up on Big Kev next time and find out where he's off to. I think it was, they were quite early out the door, second or third team to announce, which generally means that, you know, you're talking about a very stable, signed, sealed unit. Orbea Fox, Damien Auton, Vid Persak return to lead their EWS charge, but they've now added Laura Charles to that squad as well. That's a well-balanced team, isn't it?
It is. I think we didn't really see the best of Damien Auton last year. Someone who's another race winner and someone who's always in about the top 10, top five. Didn't really seem to get going last year, but with the season being short and no title up for grabs, maybe he was just saving himself and not forgetting that he missed pretty much all of 2019 due to injuries. He I think broke his wrist in Rotorua 2019, came back halfway through the season and broke his back.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, not surprising to see him a little bit back from where he would normally be, but look, another 8 months since the last race he did, and I expect to see him right up at the sharp end again.
I love watching Damien Auton ride a bike. He's similar to Jesse Melamed in that he hangs it all out there, and if he and the bike get to the stage finish together, then it's usually a good time. Big Vid as well, another guy that, I mean, I think that's a relationship that will grow and grow. They've both got similar sort of temperaments. He's a nice, easygoing guy, Vid, and I think he'll learn a lot from Auton. I agree with you that Auton is at his best when it's a longer season with lots and lots of racing, so I think we'll see him really back at the front. Laura Charles as well, I think the addition of Laura to that team is maybe with one eye to bringing them right into contention in the teams overall as well, so that could definitely be one to watch now. Zacharias Blom Johansson off Cube and on to Ibis. That's a done deal, and let's face it, hardly a massive shocker that one, was it?
No. Him and Robin Wallner get on really, really well. I think they spend a lot of time training together. I believe they have the same coach, and I always thought Zach was Norwegian, but turns out he's Swedish, or he's got dual citizenship, so he can decide. But yeah, I think a good move for Ibis, a good move for Zach. The makeup of that team now is really, really strong, and yeah, I think him and Robin will push each other in a good way. And they've been, without Zach, they've been right up there fighting for team overalls. So with him included, they're going to be a real contender for the team overall, but also individual race wins, and not forgetting Bex Barona on the women's side as well.
Yeah. Do you think, is it a bit of a strange one? They added Cole Lucas last time out. If you look at their results last season, compared. Zach went 12th, 42nd, 12th, so that gives him an average position of 22nd. Cole, 14th, 17th, 21st, that's an average position of 17th. I've cracked the calculator out for this episode.
I was going to say, your maths aren't that good.
No.
There's no way.
Oh, dear. No, dear God, no, they're not. But do you think it's a move that's aimed full square, as you say, as getting those points, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to win to get a good haul of points. And the team overall is pretty valuable it's valuable to every team that enters. I mean, that's why they do so. If you can say that your bike's the number one bike on the EWS circuit, it's a pretty big statement. And I think with that squad, I mean, I kind of forgot about Cole Lucas there, but when you've got him, Robin and Zach, all top five riders on their day, and Bex Brunner, who's been on the podium in the women's, I mean, that's, if they all have a good day, that's going to be a solid haul of points.
It definitely is. And I mean, we talked earlier in the podcast about equipment and stuff, and you look at those Ibis bikes, like the Ritmos with, you know, Fox suspension, like that's a solid package as well, isn't it? Shimano drivetrains, like, I mean, I don't think there's any sort of big brands now that have questionable machinery. I think that's reflectant of mountain bikes just generally being very good these days, but that's a solid equipment package, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And not to mention the Dave Weagle designed frame. And that man knows what he's doing when it comes to building a good bike, and we've seen his kind of DW link or split pivot just constantly becoming updated, and I'm pretty sure that's what Ibis have continued to go with, and so straight away before you bolt anything on it, you know that frame works.
So it is, as I say, I highlighted at the start of this, it's worth pointing out that we're still waiting on a couple of the big name teams to announce. None more so than the team's champions. There was only one overall championship last season, of course, and that was for the teams. Pivot Factory Racing. Rory, we spoke about Morgan Schaar a bit last week. Her points winning performances, arguably, that made the difference for them last season when they got the title. There's no danger of her heading anywhere, is there?
You would think not. To win the last round, as she did in finale, and such a dominant win as well. You'd imagine, you know, that's the final result of the year that sticks in people's minds. If you're Pivot and you end the year like that, as well as winning the team overall, you're looking to get that team to put pen to paper and keep them for another season. I don't know whether we'll see much of Bernard racing at the EWS this year, but if you take him out and, you know, Eddie,
we get Matt Walker back this year as
Matt
well.
Matt Walker back, I think if you look at that with Morgan Schaar, I mean, that is a really, really strong squad.
Well, they had super sub Charlie Murray last season, didn't they? So sort of covered for him. I mean, Matt Walker is famously consistent and for me, one of the best all-round bike racers on the planet, probably alongside Eddie Masters in that respect, his good friend. But Bernard's points last season, I mean, they can't be taken away as well. You know, he put in some absolutely fantastic performances at Enduro World Series level.
He did. A pretty solid first showing in Zermatt, given the conditions, and I believe that was his first one. It was pretty solid, and we went to Pietra in finale, although he wasn't towards the sharp end like he was at the first round. I mean, they're notoriously difficult places to go and just do well. The pace and the style of trail really suits a bit of experience, and I've been there before. So, you know, if he comes back and races next year, I'll no doubt will have learned a lot from the three races he did in 2020, and I'd expect to see him take a slightly different approach and the results improve. I mean, there's no denying he's a talented racer.
I mean, we've talked earlier on, like, about, you know, EWSE. I mean, one cursory flick through Bernard's social media would suggest that he's on his e-bike a lot. That Pivot e-bike is very good looking. I mean, I'd love to see him at a couple of EWSE rounds. Right, we mentioned Charlie Murray there. One of the other great unannounced, can Pivot keep hold of him? Will he go somewhere else? I know he mentioned in he mentioned to me in finale that he'd like to try his hand at racing a couple of more downhills. So I'm guessing a brand that has a downhill presence as well. Where do you think we're going to see him end up?
Yeah, Charlie Murray was probably one of the standout riders of 2020. Of the short season it was, he was definitely one of the ones that I was going to say he came out of the ashes a bit. But Luke, very, very talented. When you speak about wanting to do a little bit more downhill, he went to, I believe it was Maribor, and qualified at his first World Cup. And the first one, I think he scraped through, and then with the dual format, he had the second one a couple of days later, and he kind of cruised through mid-pack and qualifying. So he's definitely someone who learns really quickly, and I think regardless of where he ends up, he'll be a real asset to whatever team he joins, and a rider that I think is only going to improve. Really good attitude, really nice lad. And I hope to see more of him in 2021.
I mean, we can't, this isn't an award show and we can't give out gongs or anything here, but I'm not saying I wasn't listening to you, but as you were just talking, I was thinking about something else. He's got to be breakthrough of the year last season, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I just said that he was one of the standouts for me. But
you said one off. I'm talking about, like, if you had to give that award,
we're gonna give him the virtual breakthrough of the year,
rookie of the year. It's got to be, hasn't he? Estelle Charles got on the podium in finale. That was a great ride from her. Melanie Pujan, I guess, won an EWSE and an EWS. Big, big shout. But in terms of just turning up completely fresh to mountain bike racing and getting the results Charlie did, I think that's pretty impressive stuff, right?
And consistent as well.
So we still have yet to hear from, a number of teams. Let's have a look at those now. Plenty of EWS and EWSE squads still to announce. GT Factory Racing, I can't see there being any big changes there, can you?
No, I think they've got their eggs in one basket a bit with Martin Mays in the men's category. Wynn Masters, I imagine he'll be back and joining him. And then Noah Karim in the women's field. Strong squad, all riders who have been on the podium. I believe Wynn's won one, Martin's obviously won one, and Noga's been right up there on the podium as well. So three really strong riders, close-knit group with team manager Mark, and you'd imagine that'll be staying the same.
You'd imagine. So this, by the way, we should have pointed out, this is prime opportunity for us to make inaccurate predictions. So Rocky Mountain Race Face also yet to announce, one of the big teams from last season. Jesse Melamed, a couple of wins. Adrienne Lamphy in a Doe, we saw her get injured in Zermatt, sadly. Remy Govan, I'd say that's probably, they're a tight unit as well, aren't they? I would say we'd probably see them back.
Yeah, Team Canada, I think, they've got the Rocky Mountain obviously underneath them that they're riding, and the lumberjack style race kit. I think it's a pretty tight knit group, and with Jesse having a real standout year and pushing himself into contention for, I guess, the overall in 2021, you'd imagine that squad will stay the same, and they seem to work really well with each other. And if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I think that's entirely the vibe I got from speaking to Jesse after that win in finale. He sort of, relief isn't the right word, but just sort of a confidence that he'd had such a long off season, the build up to last year, and everything he'd done, it obviously worked because of the results he got. And he said he was just looking forward to getting back home, doing some skiing, and then just starting that work all over again. So I think we're definitely going to see him back on that Rocky Mountain towards the front of the pack. Yeti Fox, Richie Rudin Co., we still have to hear from them. Lapierre Zip Collective, CRC, I mentioned, we've officially to hear from them yet. All the EWSE teams still to officially announce. I will make a confession that, I mean, we've got this far in the podcast, and I have to admit that I have actually seen a spreadsheet with some big names besides some perhaps unfamiliar brands. So plenty of intrigue yet to come. Let's revisit this in a few weeks. What should we talk about next week? You got any ideas?
Ooh. What should we talk about? Should we open it to the listeners?
Yeah.
What do people want to hear about?
Drop us a comment underneath this. Let us know what you would like to hear about. I kind of think we need to talk about where we're going in 2021. Do you have any better ideas?
Leave it with me. I'll get a thinking hat on this week if I can get it over the sled, and we'll go from there.
I think you're gonna have to start modifying your hats to get that hair underneath. Right. We'll look into it. Leave it with us. Please remember that you can suggest that topic on any of our social media channels, Instagram, Facebook. In the meantime, please stay tuned to those and EnduroWorldSeries.com for all the breaking team news as and when we get it. We are as excited as you are to see where the top names end up. Thanks very much, and we'll speak to you next time.
See you later.